Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Today, I want to talk to you about the glory, or beholding the glory, but especially the glory of Christmas and beholding the glory of Christmas. But specifically, I want to talk to you about signs from God. Have you ever had a sign from God? Sometimes people have signs from God that they recognize God is talking to them or showing them a sign, but it may not be obvious to everybody else. But has God ever given you a sign that was just between you and Him, and you went, wow, I know God gave me that for a sign? Could I just see your hand if that's ever happened? Wow, okay, so I'm talking to people that I don't need to convince. You obviously know this. The scripture says in Mark 16:20, we'll bring that up on the screen and you'll see, Then they went forth and preached everywhere. This is talking about the New Testament church. The Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. So when the word of God is being preached and being proclaimed, not just in a church building, but out there in the world, God often gives accompanying signs. You may not see it, but someone that you're ministering to will recognize that you're sharing the gospel to them is a sign from God. They may not tell you, but many times this is accompanying signs that God does to confirm the gospel to people. And so God does accompany signs. So there are all kinds of signs in nature. For example, one of the first signs that God ever gave was the rainbow. And after the earth was flooded, God said He put His bow in the sky. It was a sign to the world that I'll never flood the entire earth again. Those were God's words. So every time we see a rainbow, that is actually a supernatural sign from God. In the Old Testament, there were many signs. The sun stood still at Joshua's command until they finished battle. Gideon put a fleece out, and one moment it was wet, and the next time he asked for confirmation, it was dry when everything else was wet. So God often does not mind to manifest signs to help our belief or help our faith or really to encourage us. And some signs are just in the natural. And some of you, because you've been going here a long time, you'll hear some things that I've shared already today, but I do it again just to make a point for those who haven't heard. A few years ago, I went walking on the beach by myself in Daytona one day, and I was very discouraged about some decisions I had to make that a lot of people, I felt like I made the wrong decision, and I was even beginning to wonder, Lord, did I do this right? Did I not do it right? Anyway, I was discouraged, to say the least. And as I was walking in knee-deep water in the down by the shore, I stepped over a part, a wave came in, and I saw a little piece of a sand dollar, just not a whole sand dollar, a broken piece, and just like you see on the screen there. In fact, it's this very same one right here I'm holding. And in my mind, in my thought at that moment, it was like, I didn't hear a voice, but it was like, I just walked past it and it was, something said inside of me, you need to turn back around and go find that piece of sand dollar. Well, I'm desperate to hear from God, so I'm saying, God, is this really you or is this just my overactive imagination? Well, I walk back a few steps, and by now another wave's come in, so it's not likely I'm going to find that little piece of sand dollar. But lo and behold, there it was, and I reached down, and I picked it up, and I looked at it just like this, and I said, God, are you trying to talk to me through this piece of a sand dollar? I don't understand. And just at that moment, I turned it over, and this is what it says. Can you bring it up? Somebody, I did not write this, somebody, you can look close if you want to see it in person, somebody wrote that on there, threw that out there in the ocean, And who knows how a discouraged pastor on a day he needed to see it would find it, pick it up, and God was confirming by giving me a sign saying, I'm with you, I hear you, I understand you, do not fear. That was just an encouragement. And I'm telling you, he doesn't just do that for me, he does that for all of us. In ways that if we tell people, they think, oh, you're crazy, or they won't believe your story, or whatever. But God uses signs in nature. God also uses signs in dreams. You know, how many of you have had God dreams? You know that God has spoken to you through a dream. God warned people in dreams before something would happen. God warned Joseph that, yes, take Mary. She's telling you the truth. Take her to be your wife. God also warned Joseph in a dream that he was to get up and take Jesus and Mary to Egypt and live there for 3.5 years because Herod was coming to kill all the Hebrew baby boys. So God speaks to us through dreams. I've had many God dreams, and I encourage you, if you have a God dream, you'll remember it, but be sure to write down the details because sometimes the details play an important part of understanding. God speaks to us not only through nature, not God only speaks to us through dreams, but he speaks to us primarily through Scripture. And when I say that, I'm saying not just reading the Bible, but God speaks to us sometimes when he highlights a Scripture to you. Like it keeps coming up. You run into it everywhere you go. And you just know that God is trying to get a message across to you because you keep seeing this same Scripture or wherever you go. And so how many of you are familiar with God just highlighting a Scripture to you? Maybe even on a billboard sometimes I've had God speak to me through a Scripture. And then sometimes God speaks to you, gives you a sign through people. People can be a sign from God. In Luke chapter 2, Simeon, an old man, when Mary and Joseph brought baby Jesus to the temple to be dedicated, they met an old man by the name of Simeon. It's interesting. His name Simeon actually means sign. So God sent a sign, a person named Sign, to give them a sign. And he said, this child Jesus is a sign from God. So Jesus is a sign. And God sent a man named Sign to tell us that Jesus is a sign. Not long after that, a woman named Anna, who they'd never met before, confirmed this was a sign from God. Sometimes God uses people in your life as a sign from God. Years ago, I went, when I was in the Baptist church, I went to what's called a Signs and Wonders Conference. Now, as a Baptist, I really wasn't supposed to be going to a Signs and Wonders Conference, but my curiosity and my passion to learn more about the Lord and the things of the Spirit, I went anyway, and I took with me my worship leader and my youth leader, two men. And so we went to this Signs and Wonders Conference over in Titusville. And so the first night, I was intrigued by the conference speaker. I think it was Jack Deere, and he was telling all these wonderful encounters and signs from God that had happened, wonders that I was in awe. But I was a little frustrated because I'd never had anything like that happen to me. I thought, God, what's wrong with me? I mean, I've never had an incredible story to tell that was a miraculous sign from God or an angel appear. I've never had that. And so I just was kind of frustrated. And so that evening after the conference, we go to the hotel, and we were staying at a hotel in Titusville on the river. I think it's Indian River there. And so the next morning we get up and the three of us meet together, and I said, let's all go have an hour of quiet time alone. Find some place you can get alone with God. Ask God to speak to you in some way. And then in an hour, we'll come back together and talk about what we think God has said to us. So they went in different directions, and I decided to go down to the back of the hotel was the river. and there was a sidewalk going along the edge of the river with a railing, and I noticed that out beyond the railing, there was a man-made jetty. Some rocks had been set out to go a little ways, and nobody was there. It was early in the morning, so I crossed through the rail, and I walked out on these rocks with my Bible, and I'm going to go have my quiet time with God. And so I'm out here sitting on this rock, cross-leg, Indian style, facing the sun, and just talking to God, and I raised my hands, and I just singing a song and worshiping God. And I said, God, would you manifest yourself to me in some way, like I heard at this conference? Would you just make yourself known to me? And just that time, I had a little wind come by my face, you know, that very moment. So I thought, okay, was that it? I mean, I thank you, but I mean, can't you do something else that's more supernatural? And I'm just sitting there, and all of a sudden, as I'm sitting there facing the sun with the railing behind me, I hear a man say, "Hey! Hey! What in the world?" And I turn around and I look behind me, and there's a man. It looks very similar to Johnny. I'll never forget. That's what I first noticed about you. Won't you come right over here? I want him to see you. He looked like Johnny, yeah. Except his beard was solid white and his hair was solid white. So he's older. So yeah. You're a younger version.
Yes. Okay.
So I want you to stand right here. And I'm out here trying to have my quiet time with God. And that man's yelling, "Hey! Hey! Wave your hands, Johnny." And I look back and I go, what does this guy want? Now, remember, I'm out here on some rocks, so I lay my Bible down, and I go back across these rocks, and I finally get, he's up on the rail, so you got to stand right up here, can you? Yeah, there you go, stand right there. He's right there on the rail, you know, looking down at me, and I say, hey, how you doing? I'm not crazy. You saw me out there waving my hands. I'm just having some time alone with the Lord. Then I turn into pastoral mode. You know, oh, this may be an evangelistic moment. I say, do you happen to know the Lord?
Yes.
And he smiled at me. Beautiful smile. I'll never forget. Beautiful white teeth. And he said, oh, yes, I know the Lord. Like, just like that. Oh, yes, I know the Lord. So I thought, okay, now where do we go? I said, well, what are you here for? And he told me, well, I'm just passing through. And then I said, well, I'm a pastor. I'm here for a conference and some other guys, and we're going to this, you know, conference and all. And I was trying to get back to my quiet time and yet be kind to him. Okay, he saves. He knows the Lord, so I don't need to witness to him. So, and I said, well, and he wouldn't say much. He just smiled at me. And I said, well, my name is Gary. What's your name?
Johnny.
No, he didn't say that. He said, my name is Emmanuel. I'm kicking it back into pastoral mode and thing. Oh, Emmanuel, do you happen to know what that name means? And he said, oh, yeah, I know what it means. Just like that. I thought, this is a strange conversation. Where are we going with this? And I said, well, I got to get back out here. I'm having my time with the Lord. Nice to meet you. And then he went on about his way. And I thought, what in the world was that all about? I have no idea. Trying to have quiet time with God and this man. I don't know what he wants. And now I'm back out here on this rock, got in the sun, and Lord, I praise you, I thank you. Can you, Lord, I mean, can you just give me something? I don't have anything. God, can you give me some kind of experience that I know that you're with me? I'm telling you, I was dumb as a rock. I'm not kidding you. I'm serious. I'm not embellishing this at all. This is exactly the way it happened. So the hour came. I said, okay, I got to go meet the guys back. I didn't feel like I had anything. So we go back, and we meet in the room. And I said, what did you get? They shared a little scripture. What did you get? And they said, what did you get? I said, well, I don't know. Time went by so fast. I was out there, and then this guy came, and I said, this guy came. And he said his name was Emmanuel. And he had the most beautiful smile. And he looked at me really strange. He said his name was Emmanuel. And it dawned on me. I just had an encounter. Was this man an angel? Was he just a man? I don't know to this day. But I went, Lord, you showed me a sign. You're with me. How could I be so dumb? How could I not see that? How could I miss it, Lord? I don't understand. But you are with me. I've never forgot that. To this day, I don't know if that was a man or an angel. It doesn't matter. I do know this. It was a sign. It was a sign. So every time I see Johnny, I think of that man. And Johnny, if you get your hair real white, you'll look just like him. He had the most beautiful smile. I don't know if you've ever had an encounter like that, possibly an angel, possibly a person. There's other signs that God gives. There's a sign of the stars. God says in Genesis 1:14, he said purposely, he said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens and let them be signs to indicate seasons and days and years. So the constellations are signs from God to us, and they actually tell the story. And if you really study the zodiac properly, it tells the story of the gospel. 12 constellations. Now, God is not for you studying astrology. Like, you know, your zodiac sign. Now, that's strictly forbidden in Scripture for Christians. Deuteronomy 17:18, God says that's witchcraft. Because people at one time believed the stars were like gods and that somehow the stars controlled your destiny. So if you're a Christian and you're looking at the zodiac or reading your horoscope in the newspaper, stop it, because you need to read Deuteronomy 17:18. It tells you not to do that. When people say, count your lucky stars, they're talking about it, that kind of cultish thinking that God says is strictly forbidden. You're not to look to that. You're to look to God, the creator of the stars in the first place. And so God forbids that. When someone, you know, asks me, they say, and they don't know, they just, you know, they say, what's your sign? I say, my sign is the sign of the cross. And they go, I don't think I've ever seen that one. Well, let me tell you about it. So that's your sign. That's your new zodiac sign. Acts 2:19, Scripture talks about signs. God says, I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. In Luke 21:25, there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and on earth, great dismay among nations. As we get closer to end times, we're going to see more displays in the skies, in the stars, and there will be signs. These are signs from God to the world to say, pay attention. Listen. Look to me. The wise men who came long after Jesus' birth, they were astronomers. They were people who studied the stars. In Numbers 24:17, they looked in the scriptures, and there it says, a star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel. And so they had studied the stars, and they knew this was a new star that appeared over Judea over Bethlehem in particular. And when they noticed that star, they put that star and this prophecy together and said, now we have got to go see this new king that has been born. And they said they called him the King of the Jews because that land was the land of the Jews. And so Herod, who was the king of that area, was given a nickname when he was assigned by Rome to be the king over the Jews. He was given the nickname of the King of the Jews. So you can understand why he got nervous when he heard about men who had come to find him who had been born King of the Jews. He was concerned about a replacement coming or an uprising or something like that that was about to happen. Now, contrary to popular belief, these wise men, probably from Iraq and from India, way over in the Far East, it took them at least 8 months to travel from where they were, probably in a large caravan of people, all the way to Judea. So it wasn't a 3 or 4 day trip. And contrary to popular belief, the star did not lead them. They didn't follow the star. The star appeared, and then it disappeared. They had to go by faith, the same way you and I have to be led by God, by faith. It wasn't a star that was leading them, okay? So that may burst your bubble, but I'm going to prove that to you right now. We look, when they arrived in the Jerusalem area, Matthew chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 says, they came asking this question, and they came into Jerusalem, and they said, where is he who's born King of the Jews? Notice, past tense, we have seen his star, and we've come to worship him. So the star, they saw it, and then it disappeared, but they knew it was over the land of Judea. And so they traveled 8 months by faith without seeing the star, that when they would come over here, some way God would guide them. But they didn't know exactly how, but they saw the star. So they said, he's been born, so we got to go find him. In fact, probably when the star appeared was when he was born, at least 8 months or maybe even longer than that, Jesus had been born. So the star did not leave them. They traveled by faith. And so by the time they come to Jerusalem, and Herod is the king, and he recognized these men and probably a large caravan of people, probably wasn't just three men on camels. It's probably a whole caravan of people bringing all their gold, frankincense, and myrrh with them, which would have been large amounts, so it would require a lot of people. So when they came into Jerusalem, Jerusalem wasn't a huge city. It would be noticeable that there are strangers that have arrived. And Herod the king would have heard about it. And then when he heard about it, he said, yeah, these are guys that have coming to look for someone who's born King of the Jews. He says, well, you send them to me. I want to ask them some questions. So they had an audience with Herod, and he feigned or acted like he was a believer. And actually, he was half Jewish. His father was a Jew. So he might have been raised Jewish. He probably knew about a Messiah that was coming, but he wasn't a real believer. He just acted like, oh, tell me, you, this King of the Jews, this is the Messiah. Where is he? Where's he going to be? I'd like to know. I'd like to find out myself so I can come and worship him too. And they said, well, we don't know exactly where he's at. It was over this region. We saw his star. And he asked, when did you see the star? He said, oh, about 8 months ago. And so he acted like he wanted to find this King of the Jews. So when they left Herod, listen to this. When they left Herod, look what Scripture says. Matthew 2, verses 9 and 10. When the Magi heard Herod, they departed. Oh, the star appeared. Miraculously, the star appeared again, and it hovered over the place of the child, which would be Bethlehem, probably about 5 miles away. They became ecstatic with joy. Why? They haven't seen the star for at least 8 months. the star appeared. There it is. God is leading us. God is showing us. God is with us. God is helping us. So they had ecstatic joy because they knew they were in the right place at the right time. God confirmed, you're doing just what I wanted you to do by faith. Now they saw the star again. And so, man, you can imagine the joy that they had, because this was a sign from God. They knew it was a sign from God. Now, other people saw this star and didn't think anything of it, but that star meant something to them. When I was just a little boy, my mom's mom, my grandmother, lived in Athens, Tennessee, and we lived in Daytona. She had a heart attack and was in the hospital, and they called the family and said, if you want to see her alive, you need to get up here quick. And so, best I can remember, we hopped in the car at night, and it's going to be an all-night drive, and my aunt and uncle and cousins in a car behind us, and boy, I mean, they hit the road, and we were trying to get there before she passed away. Sometime during the night, my mom noticed out the side of the driver's side of the window, there was a very strange star. It seemed like it was following us, of course, but it wasn't, just the way it appeared. It just really caught her attention. And when we stopped on the side of the road, go to the restroom, things like that, she asked her sister, my aunt behind her, did you see that one star up in the sky? And she said, yeah, we've been watching it too. We thought it was really strange. And then they realized that somehow God was giving them a sign that their mother was still alive at that moment, and that God was with you. You know, be safe, get there safely. And so they kept going and just noticing that star. To them, it was a sign from God. And about 4 in the morning or so, about the time we were about to pull closely into the driveway where my grandmother lived, that star suddenly dropped out of the sky. Boom. My mom started crying. My aunt started crying. To them, they knew that their mother had just passed away. And sure enough, when we got inside there and found out the time, it was about the exact same time that star had fallen. So why was that? That was just a sign from God. God shows you signs sometimes. Signs that He's with you. He's got this. He's in control. You're not to worry nor be afraid. That God wants you to know that He's got perfect timing. And He goes before us. So it was simply a sign. Look at this in Matthew chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. Notice now, when the Magi, these wise men, came into the house, notice it wasn't a stable. This is a house. So this is long after the birth, at least 8 months, maybe longer. And they saw the young child, notice, not a baby. So by now, Jesus is a toddler. So the Magi did not arrive the same time as the shepherds did, contrary to traditional teaching. And so when they saw Him, they fell down and they worshiped Him. Don't you think that took faith? Amen. To see a little baby? He didn't have a halo around His head. You know, they didn't see any angels around Him. They were led by faith to recognize Jesus and to worship Him as a little child in His house. Look at God's perfect timing. This is what I want you to see out of this. This is an amazing scripture. The Magi, the wise men, they come with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold for the king, frankincense for the high priest, or the priest, you could say, myrrh for burial. Yes, all of that is true. But these were very costly, very expensive, not only gold in large amounts, frankincense in large amounts, and myrrh in large amounts was very, very expensive. Sometimes myrrh was more expensive than gold. So they had large quantities of gifts to give Mary, Joseph, and the baby. He's a child. Perfect timing. Why? A baby doesn't need gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Not long after this, Herod came up with a demonic plan. He'd heard about this Jesus. He'd heard maybe the stories that shepherds had that came and saw angels. He heard these reports, and whether he believed them or not, he had come up with a plan. Nobody's going to take my place. I'm the king of the Jews. So he came up with a demonic plan to kill every Hebrew male child from 2 years and under. And so he sent that edict out, that law out, that and just prior to that happening, before that law came out, probably the day before, Joseph has a dream in the middle of the night. God warned him through an angel, get up in the middle of the night, get Mary, get the baby Jesus, and go to Egypt now. God's perfect timing. And look what they had. Because now they're going to move to a place where they don't know anybody, they don't have any jobs, and yet they have enough money in gold, frankincense, and myrrh to live for 3.5 years. Don't tell me that God doesn't have a plan. God is way, way ahead of you. And this is something that you need to be encouraged. This is where God wants to encourage you today. He knows your circumstances. He knows that what you're going to need that's coming up. He knows about your future. He does not want you to fear the future. Some of us sometimes get afraid of the future. We think, are we going to have enough money to make it? Are we going to have enough health to make it? And we fear the future as human beings. Well, we have to stop that, because that is not living by faith. And I want to show you the God who loves you so much, what he does for you. Deuteronomy 31:8. God goes before you. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you nor abandon you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. That's your God. That's what he's telling you. And then Isaiah chapter 52. For the Lord will go before you and be your rear guard. What are you afraid of? Why are you afraid? You are afraid because you do not really believe. And you get rid of the unbelief, and you will have absolutely no fear. One of the names of God is called Jehovah Yireh. Jehovah Yireh. The Lord sees ahead of you. He knows what you're going to need before you do. He will make provision. And in that time of need, you may not have the provision ahead of time in your eyes. It'll come right when you need it. Amen. And Joan, I had a word for you. When I was preparing this sermon, the Lord was saying to you, to my heart, to you, do not fear your future. I am your provider. I am faithful. I have always provided for you. I have protected you. I protected you for what the enemy meant to destroy and hurt and harm you. But I am with you. Fear not. Your future is secure. I know the plans I have for you. Do not be afraid. Praise God. I believe. And not only to Joan, he's saying that to a lot of us today. And I want to warn you, though, that the enemy can send you false signs. I'm not trying to get everybody to be asking God for a sign. I don't think that it's necessary for us to do that. If God wants to give you a sign, he'll give you one in his own time and his own way. The enemy can send false signs as well. Matthew 24:24, the scripture is very clear. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. In other words, if possible, even believers can somehow be deceived. And see, God gives you the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And sometimes when you may not know by looking or in your mind something's wrong, in your heart, God will give you an uneasiness, like something's just not right. And it's the old saying that Bob Mumford used to say years ago, one of the greatest keys to discernment is this: there ain't nothing wrong, but something ain't right. And that's an indicator of the Holy Spirit on the inside trying to warn you. Sometimes God will warn you, no, don't take that trip. No, don't go to that store. No, don't drive this direction. No, turn this way instead of that way. God will warn you, and because he's trying to protect you. God wants to lead you, but you got to be leadable. You got to be teachable. And so there are false signs and wonders as well. And God knows we're human. And he knows that we have a tendency sometimes to look to the flesh more than we do the things of the Spirit, because the things of the Spirit are kind of mysterious, and we wonder about things, and is that really God, or was that just my overactive imagination? And God understands all that, and he knows how to communicate to us. After the death and resurrection of Jesus, Jesus appeared to several of the disciples. They saw him. But the account was so preposterous in some people's eyes, they said, I just can't believe that. And one of them, you know very well, was a disciple of Jesus. Some believers have a hard time believing God. And this believer was named Thomas. And Thomas heard some of his best friends, his partners in ministry, saying, Thomas, we saw him alive. We saw him. We ate with him. And Thomas says, guys, I love you, but this is just too much right now for me to just take this in. I'm sorry. I was there. I saw when he died. I was there. I know what dead looks like. I saw when they nailed his hands. I saw his quivering flesh. I saw when he took his last breath. Now I know that. It's a fact. He died. And I was there when they jabbed that spear in his side and both water and blood came out. I saw it. Now I know he's dead. And I wish I could believe. But I want to tell you, I'm not going to believe unless I have a sign, unless I can see the nails and I can touch his side. And just then, the Lord appeared and said to Thomas, a believer who was doubting, Thomas, quit being fearful. Quit doubting. Only believe. Come here. Come here. Come here, Thomas. Come here. That's what you get for sitting on the front row. Put your hands in the holes in my hands. Put your hand right there in that side. Thank you. And Thomas fell down and he said these words, my Lord and my God. And he worshiped him. My Lord and my God. We should all have a sense of wonder. You've made yourself known to me. You spared my life through many times, through many dangers, toils, and snares I've already come. How many countless times did you intervene and save my life? How many times have I grieved your spirit? And yet you've been faithful to love me. Come to me and minister to me and show me signs that you're with me. How many times, God, God uses the signs of the stars, but also the signs of his scars. And in your scars. You know, the only man-made thing in heaven is the scars of Jesus. God still uses signs, and some of the signs he wants to use are signs in you. There's probably not a person here that doesn't have a scar somewhere on your body. A scar is a sign of a wound that has been healed. A scar is a sign that says something bad happened here. Something bad, maybe it was surgery. Maybe it's a car accident. Something bad happened here, but it's healed. That's a physical scar. Some of you have invisible scars emotionally. You were abused as a child. Maybe you were raped or molested. Maybe you went through a divorce. Maybe you've lost a child. You've been scarred on the inside, and hopefully the wound has healed, but some of you have wounds that have not healed. And God wants to heal them today. Amen. And I'm not saying it's going to be a once and for all prayer and it's over with, but today you could advance incredibly if you would humble yourself and let people up here at this altar in a moment just pray for you about this deep pain, deep hurt you still feel. You've been carrying it too long. You can grieve too long. And God wants to heal that. We don't have to know all the details. It's none of our business, but God knows. And he brought you here today because he's saying to you through this preacher, I want to heal that. I want to take care of that. But you're going to have to surrender to me. And if you'll come to me, I'll heal that. And you'll know the difference. So scars are things that say something bad happened here, but God wants to heal them. He has his scars, you have your scars. He wants to heal you. And today it would be a good move on your part. Whether you're a member here or not, doesn't matter. Amen. It'd be a good move for you today. It would be a good thing for you just to come forward. It'd be a step in the right direction to say, pray for me. I have a wound that needs to be healed. Without saying what it is. Watch what God will do. You got something you want to add? Amen. You're okay with that? Okay. And Joan has had those kind of things as well. And part of getting healed is starting to minister to people. And so you'll be up here. Why don't you just come on up and stand? There'll be ladies that need to come to you that need you to pray for them for emotional scars and things that are deep within that. And elders, you come on up and stand here. Two altar workers, you come on up, folks. Just because some people will see your face, and they'll just be drawn to you. They'll want to come to you. While they're coming, let me share, and I close with this, my favorite Christmas scripture. My favorite Christmas scripture is Isaiah 9:6. In Isaiah 9:6, say it out loud with me. For unto us, a son is given. Notice the child is born, but the son is given. When the child is born, that was God demonstrating humanity. God became a man. He became like us. And Hebrews says he was touched with our infirmities. The word is sympatheo, sympathy. He knows he was touched with our, he knows what it feels like to be human. He knows everything about you. But then when the son is given, that's representing his divinity. It wasn't a baby that died on the cross for our sins. It was a son, a full-grown, mature son. God let the baby be born, but the son is given. God stretched out his hand to the blue planet, and he said, here, I can redeem everybody at one time through this one sacrifice of my son. Their part is to trust me and believe and receive. So I say that right now because it's possible, like many, so many have recently, come to the realization that though you believe in God, that is not salvation. There must be a time that you receive what God says he has given. You receive it by faith. You put your trust in God and do what he says. Let's stand to our feet. And the scripture is very clear. To as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the authority to become the sons and daughters of God. There must be a time, sir and ma'am, where you definitely do business with God on his terms. And his terms are very clear, unmistakable, black ink on white paper. That is, you confess with your mouth, Jesus is your Lord, your Savior. And you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that he is alive right now. And you receive him right now as Lord and Savior. If that's never happened, let's do business with God on his terms. Let's bow our heads. This is your moment. Settle this issue once and for all. Today. Say out loud to God, Jesus, you are my Lord. From this moment on, I look to you for salvation. Nothing good in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. I believe you're alive, that you died in my place. And right now, I receive you. Come on in, Jesus. Sit on the throne of my life. Be my Lord, my God, my Savior. I believe and I receive. By faith in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer for, say, for the first time, then come on up and share that with one of us. John's coming for prayer. He wants you to pray for him for healing. Others of you, if you've never prayed that prayer and this was the first time, you settled that issue once and for all, then let it be known. Let us celebrate with you. That today I just prayed and received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Others of you need prayer for healing of a wound that needs to be healed. Let Jesus do that right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.